This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Rolling into hour two of the Nosebleed Nation. That's right. It's a Nosebleed Seats takeover here on the G-Bag Nation for the rest of the week. Zach Wolchuk alongside Eric Chiafalo, but we still got 50%, the heart and soul of the G-Bag Nation, the one and only Brian Broaddus, and the often imitated, never duplicated, the one and only Lucius Alexander. And you, the Tolo, the Turn It On, Leave It On listener, the loyal Nationals, the Bleeders, the Cedars, 877-881-1053 on the Autoflex Leasing Fantex. We got Carter Freeman holding it down as well. We're available, Eric.
Don't forget Carter, man. He went shirtless with us.
Carter did. We're about 40 minutes away from shirts off, just banging with Jared Sandler, all your Rangers news and headlines, and it's a good thing.
I'm looking forward to finding out the most famous person that Jared Sandler's ever peed next
to. That's a great question.
I bet he's got a Rolodex.
He probably does, and I think it's a lot of people. Good thing the Rangers now have the roof on. So they can practice because it is pretty rainy, a little stormy out there right here off 75 and Fitzhugh. It's coming down. Let us know wherever you are in the Metroplex. How's the weather? 877-881-1053. I enjoy getting some weather updates now and then, Eric. I don't know if that's a thing that you're into. Broaddus has actually usually been my go-to weather guy. Him and Nick Nepik. Anytime I got to host with Broaddus or Nepik, they were both always on top of the weather. Because I can't read a weather map to save my life. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, you just got to know, hey, is it raining? Is it not? Right now, it is raining.
Is it raining? Is it not?
And this is the good news about today's rain is I'm just hoping that we're just going to empty the skies now so that by Saturday when we all need the sun, because we're going to be poolside, lakeside, whatever we're doing, we can't have any rain on Saturday. So let's get all the rain out between now and then.
No question. That's a good plan. I like that. Let's go ahead and have the rain here on a Thursday. Thursday showers, it's fine. But on Saturday, get on out of here, right, so we can enjoy our J4 weekend. We do want to get into some audio. Last night, the Rolodex of Chris Arnold, the night after he got announced that he will be an inductee into the Texas Sports Radio Hall of Fame, the Rolodex was on full force. He had Greg Way, voice of the Texas Longhorns, former UNT alumnus, Eric.
Cool.
Absolutely. Let's go, Mean Green. Also, Bill Jones of CBS Sports. Now, Bill Jones is the de facto mayor of South Lake Carroll. I don't know if anybody knew that.
That's true.
Yeah,
he's a dragon, bro.
He absolutely
through and through.
Is.
He will talk. And I've done Cowboys shows with him before, and we've had more South Lake football talk.
He knows exactly what's happening. Yeah. We used to do, Eric and I would host Friday Night Stars out there at the Star in Frisco. Uh-huh. We'd do it out of the Cowboys podcast studio. A couple times we'd get, we needed a South Lake Carroll update. Let's see what Bill's doing.
Yeah.
Give him a call. He's able to break down the third string quarterback for us nicely. They got themselves a nice one there, Quinn Ewers, going into his junior year. That's a name to remember down the line. Quinn Ewers is going to have himself some offers at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Jimbo can't go talk to him yet, right?
No, Jimbo can't talk to him.
No, sorry,
but Tom
Jimbo.
Herman could.
There you go.
So Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns, well, we know about their issues with COVID-19. It came down today that Oklahoma, they announced that 14 football players have tested positive for the coronavirus. Also, their head coach, Lincoln Riley, and their basketball head coach, Lon Kruger, are among Oklahoma employees that will be taking pay cuts due to COVID-19 and the pandemic. The pay cuts will be by a minimum of 10%. So everybody's starting to feel it, you know, I think across the country. But now it's trickling into the sports world as well. And we talked yesterday about the possibility of the college football season maybe even being played in the spring. Now, when we got off the air, I saw a headline from Penn State's athletic director, and he said that is a last-case resort.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it is for most schools. Most schools, logistically, it might be a nightmare. And scheduling, to your point, Broaddus, it impacts the NFL. What are you going to do with the draft? But it also impacts the following college football season.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that if that ends up being what the NCAA, the route that they have to do to get the college football season in.
Well, Paul Feinbaum of ESPN had some things to say. Now, and before I give you that, are you guys in agreement that Paul Feinbaum looks like the human embodiment of the NCAA rulebook?
He does have an appearance of a guy that
I think
he looks like. Yeah, with the ears, the bald head, and then the glasses. And he kind of gives you a little bit of a smirky look.
He does. Right. Like a know-it-all.
There's kind of like he's listening to what you're saying, But in his mind, he's going, you're absolutely incorrect with everything you're saying.
Like I think of Ask Jeeves. Yeah. He reminds me of the Ask Jeeves guy.
I just feel like if the NCAA rulebook became a human being, that it would be Paul Feinbaum. And so he was on Golic and Wingo, ESPN, yesterday, and a couple of quotes that he had to say in regard to the college football season. He's a little more pessimistic than we'd probably like for him to be, Walchuk.
Jeez, I want optimism here.
He says they're talking about on-time beginnings in full stadiums, and they're all full of crap. That was one of his lines. He also said anyone who believes that the college football season is in good shape is wrong. Mm. He says, if you go back to Memorial Day, I felt great, but not anymore. He says, I don't even know what the best case scenario I could give you right now is. I do believe that if there is a season, it will not start on time. And I'm beginning to seriously question whether there will be a season or not. So Feinbaum, who is obviously in the know, SEC Network, whatever, ESPN, you know, college football. And he is about as pessimistic as I've heard anybody be in regards to the college football season.
Well, let's hear from Craig Way and Bill Jones. They hopped on with Kevin Gray and CA filling in for us last night on the nosebleed seats here on your DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And we'll start with the Longhorns side of things. Cut 12, the voice of the Horns, Craig Way. How are the Longhorns responding to the coronavirus?
Well, fortunately, they've had a little bit of an abatement in what was, at least for a time, a little bit of a rising tide of reported cases. They were in the 20s of over 100 guys, and then it has fallen back. But it has taken a nicer turn, which is in, by the way, and you guys know this, in contrast to what's going on across the state of Texas, there in the Metroplex, here in the Austin area, and Lord knows, for our friends in Houston who are really suffering with it,
oh, yeah.
where all these numbers have really spiked up. They've been fortunate there on campus at UT with the football players where the numbers have fallen back down just a little bit.
That's a good thing for the University of Texas. And he's right. We haven't heard of any new reports, I think, in the last 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks ago is the last time I remember hearing a University of Texas player test positive.
I think we have to be careful with these corona numbers that we're getting from colleges. And I'll only tell you because of talking to people around the country at various programs, there were some reports about my school, LSU, 30 kids tested positively and all that. And my guy told me, he said, listen, Brian, he goes, those numbers are not accurate. That's not accurate at all. He goes, no, we've had some kids that have had symptoms and stuff, but they don't have it. We're trying to keep people apart and all that. He goes, we have to be very, very careful. I mean, you talking about 14, 21, 30. You get these high numbers from these college programs, and it might not be accurate at all. Because, like I say, everybody's dealing with this a little bit differently. So, it's nice to hear that the numbers at Texas, if we got an initial report, maybe those numbers weren't accurate. And now they've got things I'm not going to say they have it under control. I don't think anybody has it under control. I think this just kind of comes in waves. I just think that college football and college athletics in general are going to have a hard time. What are some of the issues that we're seeing right now? It's with young people. And I mean this in no slam to young people, but it seems to be that the numbers among young people are spiking, that are going up.
Well, yeah, open things up,
and I'll tell you. It's about living life.
And absolutely,
that's the case. But I would be careful. I would be mindful because, like I said, my alma mater at LSU, my guys were saying, whoa, the numbers that were posted about us were not accurate at all. So, I just think that we have to, with these numbers all along, we have to be very mindful of that.
Well, and a lot of that goes to the Alabama college students that are throwing COVID-19 parties as they, they're literally titling the parties as COVID-19 parties, and they are betting money to see who can catch the virus first.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little bit of a side hustle
because
I also think they're bleep holes of the week.
Airbnb is now also trying to limit, selling to younger people.
Right.
Because, they're renting it out, and basically kids are renting out these Airbnbs to throw house parties. And now Airbnb's trying to, limit the amount of people that are renting out said houses.
I do agree with going back to what you're talking about, Chi-Chi. I think it is going to be very difficult for college football. The Power Five schools, the big programs, could very well figure it out. But I was talking with some other athletic directors yesterday, and they were saying, listen, we've got games against non-Power 5 schools.
They don't have the resources.
They don't
to
have
test.
The resources right. to test. So are we going to expose our team to a university, play a university for 60 minutes, and they don't test their kids?
Well, there's really no point to even that. That's a game that should get canceled.
Yeah, see,
is that, those week yeah, one tune up games where you pay say whoever
exactly.
it is to come and play you.
So say, and I'm just
except
using
for that Oregon and North Dakota State game. I'm actually really looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Trey Lance versus Oregon.
That would
let's
be,
go ahead.
Let's
keep
leave
that
one. That's okay.
Yeah,
but
let's
I,
keep,
and
okay,
I'll
cool.
use a you know I'll use a team for example. You know, say Texas State, and I'm not singling. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean,
Texas,
we could even use North Texas.
North Texas. Okay, they go play Alabama. They go play Oklahoma. Yeah. But, you know,
Arkansas will kick their ass.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying, though. And I'm sure that North Texas will do all they can to test their kids. Will they be able to do it extensively every week? Probably not.
And look, North Texas has even recently reported they're having some issues as well.
So that's what I'm saying.
No,
though.
I'm not.
I think that, and okay, if you're a university and you're Oklahoma and you're playing North Texas and you're guaranteeing them $900,000 to come and show up and play a game, you know, how are you getting out of that contract? You know, North Texas saying, "Hey, we
want
to play.
That money.
We want to play."
Yeah,
and they're saying, "Well, no, you're not. We don't want to play you because we think your testing program is not worth a damn." So I think there's going to be a lot more hurdles that we have to jump through or go through or whatever you want to phrase it before we really get college football.
Well, one of the best events of the fall here locally is the state fair, which is doubtful if it's even going to happen, and then Texas OU, which happens, and I think might be the best neutral site rivalry game period in the country. I've heard great things in Jacksonville about Florida and Georgia, and I've never been able to attend that game.
It's incredible.
And it probably is, but Texas OU, me being biased, I think is fantastic.
Army Navy's my favorite one.
So is Bedlam. Oh, Bedlam is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
Yep.
All right. Fine, whatever.
No,
I'll hold
right.
on to Bedlam.
No, you're
Bedlam
right.
is amazing.
Bedlam's
nobody
not,
reacted. I like
it's
Bedlam.
Not neutral
it's
site.
Crazy.
It's
it
not
is
neutral
Bedlam.
Site, though. But otherwise, I agree with you.
But it's still badass.
It is
that's
badass.
All that matters.
It is badass.
Just don't let him bring you down.
Oklahoma OSU. Yeah, sure. All right. Texas OU, though, how are you going to pull this off in October, Craig Way and Bill Jones?
Well, I think the first and perhaps larger question, at least for residents of the Metroplex, is are they going to have a state fair of Texas? And if so, are they going to have a state fair of Texas on that day? In other words, will people be, I've heard rumors that maybe they might clear out the fairgrounds on that specific day, but that doesn't even begin to address the question of, you know, what will they do with social distancing if they have to do that? And boy, you know, as you guys all know, tickets for that game are a living nightmare every year anyway, even for the 46,000 on each side who get tickets to fill up the 92,000 seats. So if you're told, well, it's going to be done even at 50% capacity, then it's going to make tickets at even more of a premium if they're talking about social distancing and if to say nothing of how folks will deal with if they're, you know, of a mandatory mask enforcement's in place or things of that nature. So I think there's a lot of other unanswered questions before they can get to that.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
Yeah.
And but that's life now.
So true.
We're living in a pissed off society. We really are. There's a lot of mad people out there right now.
Hey, man,
now.
Some of us need our Fletcher's corn dogs.
No,
bro.
No, I understand. I'm just talking about the state fair, fine. But I'm that game, you know, Craig's talking about the limited tickets and stuff like that.
And who do you limit the tickets
yeah,
to?
Yeah.
Do you give it to students?
Are you a booster?
Is it all the boosters?
Do you
it's
get
gonna
money?
Be all the
yeah, exactly. It's that's gonna, what I'm yeah. saying. Whoever the big donors are going to get the tickets.
Mm. Texas OU will be interesting to see how that unfolds. So there's a little update on the Texas OU rivalry, and shout out to Bedlam, of course. Lucius is right. Gosh, what a rivalry that is. Up next, though, our dual insider, Mike Fisher, Cowboys, Mavericks, all you need to know, the Fish Report next on The Fan.
Mike Fisher set to join us here in the Nosebleeds Nation. Great to have you in 877-881-1053. We'll do some just banging with Jared Sandler, a little baseball stuff, our Rangers insider coming up next. The shirts. Oh, they're coming off.
Hey, you're going to want to get to the fan cam. 105.3thefan.com/fan cam.
We did break a record yesterday. We're trying to break our own record right now. Like, it's easy to get to the top, but staying at the top can be difficult. And that's what we're trying to do today. Segment brought to you by Soda. state-of-the-art weight loss, and Mark Rubin with Rubin & Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It all starts with a simple confidential phone call. So pick up the phone right now, call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. It's Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. And now Mike Fisher joining the conversation. Fish, in honor of Plano ISD's very own Rex Burkhead, his 30th birthday today. And because of that, we relived the story where Walchuk attended the same high school at the same time, Plano Senior High. And in between fourth period, every single day, Walchuk and Rex Burkhead would actually have to use the facilities at the exact same time. That is the second most famous person that Walchuk has ever peed next to. And so I want to ask you, Fish, who's the most famous person you've ever peed next to?
The first famous person that I peed next to was John Elway.
Wow.
And it
was that a stall?
Rookie.
What do those teeth look like in person? In those guns?
Regular. He was a regular, handsome regular guy with a big, gigantic barrel chest. Right, Brian?
Oh, God.
That's him. Pigeon toe, too.
Huge chest.
Pigeon toe. Yep.
I mean, that couldn't have been weightlifting at that, because he was a rookie. I mean, obviously, he lifted weights, but just born with a big barrel chest and big, broad shoulders and big, floppy blonde hair, and that was his rookie year with the Broncos.
Big everywhere.
I don't know. They have panels on the stalls. And,
bummer.
And yeah, that was my first year covering the NFL, and so that was my first urinal partner.
That's strong.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, you didn't even need to hesitate. It was boom.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nothing against Rex Burkhead. Don't get me wrong.
No, but LA trumps that. I think.
No, you never peed next to Troy Aikman, really, Fish?
Well, I went with my first. You know, you always remember your first.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Fewer words have ever been said.
All right, what's going on today? Mavs Cowboys. It looks like Luka did some talking.
Yeah, Luka did the Zoom today. By the way, Mavericks PR department, great appreciation of them. They are setting up interviews for us. They are sending us video and still shots of what's going on in practice. I mean, just outstanding. So for the Mavericks fan and for the Tolo, go find us. We've got some stuff on 1053thefan.com, and you can go find at Fish Sports on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram some Mavericks junk. But Luka, I think he addressed, for me, it was three big things. That's right, three. Thing number one, ding. No, he's not fat.
Mm.
And my disappointment, and I've gone on this rant before over the course of our 8 years here together, and so you guys know the drill, and Brian does too. But sports media in America, we're not very good.
Oh, no, we're trash. I mean, just speaking for us.
Speak for yourself, Fish. I think we're pretty damn good.
Speaking on behalf of the nosebleed seats.
Yeah, I don't mean this specific show necessarily, as far as you know.
Yes.
I just, you know, we got so loose and sloppy with the facts on the Luka Doncic fitness thing. His trainer in Slovenia, Jure, gave an interview to somebody in which the trainer was about, here's all the things we're going through. We're cooking all his food for him. He's not eating a bite of food that we're not monitoring. We're playing soccer. We're playing tennis. We're doing all this stuff. And then he said, you know, he's not in game shape. And the whole quote is something like, he's not in game shape, but of course he's not in game shape. There's no games. Nobody in the NBA is in game shape. And big chunks of the American media just took the first five words of the quote. He's not in game shape. And period. End quote. Thus creating this tempest in a teapot controversy for Luka Doncic, who I guess he's going to have to get used to this because he's one of the handful of greatest players and personalities in the NBA. So this kind of junk is going to follow him around, but it is junk. And very good-naturedly, he said that was a misunderstanding. Because frankly, if that was a more normal guy, he might be a little bit miffed. But he had a smile on his face. He said, "No, I'm in good shape. And as we ramp up to Orlando, I'm going to be even in better shape." So that was one thing that he knocked off.
That's good news. I'm glad to hear that he's not chubby, especially seeing – did you see the photos of Zion Williamson today?
Zion's looking shredded. I don't know if you can fat shame him anymore,
I can't
Eric.
Fat shame Zion anymore. I'm a little bit bothered by that, but he looks incredible. I'm glad Luka does as well. Was there anything else? I know that he was talking about how there was never even a split second of hesitation in regards to him wanting to go play in the bubble.
Yeah, and just in case – I thought that was a good an angle of questioning – by the DFW media, because maybe sometimes we're taking it for granted. Oh, it's your job, just go. But obviously there's some guys in the NBA who have decided for a number of reasons, no, it might be my job, but I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
The NFL, by the way, I think the NFL is trying to work on, and the Players Association trying to work on, what if an NFL player says, I'm out, and what are we going to do with him contractually? But yeah, Luka made that very clear. This is what I live to do. And then I thought the third leg on the chair for Luka today was talking about goals. And he said, I'm not going to change anything in the way I prepare or my pregame stuff or whatever it takes to get me there. And he said, we just need to keep playing with chemistry, need to playing for fun. Then he said, no pressure, which I don't know that I agree with. We'll see. And then we'll see where that takes us in terms of what our goals are. Now, he wasn't specific as to the goal. I think if you talk to Donnie or you talk to Cuban and Rick Carlisle too, who's probably listening right now, Tolo, Rick, you know, they talk about making noise in the playoffs. And so I think that's a realistic goal. That is to say, don't get ousted in round one, which of course, if that's a goal, you'd be greatly aided by not playing the Clippers in round one, which means let's go get a 5-3 record down there, maybe a 6-2 record, and watch where that takes us.
Mike, did anybody ask him about his health? About how he physically feels? I know we talk about him working out and working with the trainers and the nutrition and stuff like that, but how does he physically feel?
The wrist and the ankle
and all that. Is there any lingering effects from that?
Brian, that's a great question. He was asked in general about what advantages or disadvantages teams might have. You know, what if you're an older team? What if you're a younger team with this hiatus? And he said, the only difference I would say is that if you were a little banged up, and you know that now you're 100%.
Okay.
And he's clearly talking about himself. So yeah, the wrist thumb is fine. Everything else is good to go. And the same thing across the board with everybody who is going to be part of this thing. Dwight Powell is not going to be part of this thing, but he's still working at the facility. I put up a little video of him courtesy of the Mavericks where he's on the treadmill. He's probably still, you know, a half a year away. So he's next season, but outside of Brunson, Courtney Lee, and Dwight Powell, Luka and company should be good to go health-wise.
Mike, do you feel like they're going to go – are they playing – are they going to play shorthanded here? Are they going to play with 12? Is that right, kind of the game plan?
All right, now let's go to the 3 points from Carlisle that I took away from the conversation yesterday. And point number one, it was kind of the three obstacles, and I wrote about this today. And one of the obstacles is that they're not going to have Dwight Powell, which they should be semi-accustomed to, but they went and got Willie Cauley-Stein, and now he has decided to opt out. So it leaves them theoretically shorthanded at center, except they have 7'4", 290-pound third-string center in Boban, so it seems to me he could help. And then shorthanded in the backcourt because of no Brunson and no Courtney Lee. But traditionally, Brian, as you know, we get to the playoffs, we get to the games that matter, and guys play more minutes, the top of the rotation plays more minutes, and we don't play, you know, 13 guys in a game anymore. And so if the Mavericks do what NBA teams traditionally do, then, you know, instead of Luka playing 33 minutes, he plays 38. And instead of Porzingis playing 33, he plays 38. And the next thing you know, yeah, I think you've got a shortened rotation, and I don't think you have a gigantic problem with, I'll take Dwight Powell on my team anytime. But I don't think you have a gigantic problem if you reduce the rotation here. Sometimes for some teams in the playoffs, they'll reduce it to 8. And that might be a little too tight, but something along that lines is conventional, yes.
All right, Mike, 13 days until Dak Prescott has to sign. Are we got any more news for that?
I don't think there's any more. I'm not aware of any movement. I'm not aware of any news. I think this, though, as Cam Newton has re-entered football, and now re-entered the MVP conversation. Let me give you guys the odds and let me survey the panel, okay? Dak Prescott is 12-1 to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sits, you know, somewhere in the 4 or 6 slot. Here comes Cam Newton. He's 25-1. That means that the odds makers, who are smarter than we are, think that Dak Prescott is twice as likely to win the MVP as Cam Newton. And I can't see why.
talent around him fish. I mean, he's got out there in New England, he's throwing to a broken Mohamed Sanu and
no tight ends.
N'Keal Harry, who can't run any routes, where Dak is surrounded by some of the best offensive talent in the entire league.
And don't you think the coach would take some credit away from Cam Newton there in New England?
No. Well, first of all, which team's going to win 11 games?
I would say the Cowboys are more likely to win 11, but I do think the Patriots have a chance to get there as well.
See, I think betting against the Patriots seems like financial suicide.
Yeah, it's never a smart thing to doubt
them. They play the toughest schedule in the league this year.
They do.
On paper, they have the toughest schedule in the league.
Yeah, on paper. But you know, that includes, the AFC East is going to be better.
They play Kansas City and Baltimore and teams like that. They've got some teams they've got to play.
So, Brian, I asked Jeffrey this the other day. So, who are you picking in the AFC East?
Oh, I picked Buffalo.
Even okay. still?
I picked Buffalo. I think the Patriots are a 9 or 10 win team. I do. I think Buffalo will find a way to win one of those games against New England. Absolutely.
Okay, well, if New England wins 10, then Buffalo better win 11.
That's my plan.
Completely possible. If New England wins 11 and Buffalo wins 10, who's going to be the most valuable player on the Patriots?
Oh, it'll be Cam Newton.
Cam, yeah.
Sure it will. I mean he's got
one of the McCourty brothers.
Yeah.
McCourty brothers.
Maybe Sony.
maybe I doubt it. So the voters will look at it as Cam was the single individual star on a team that won 11 games. One of the reasons I don't think Dak's a good bet to win the MVP here, even if the Cowboys win 11 games, completely possible, is won't voters in that same season where the Cowboys win 11 games, won't Ezekiel Elliott have rushed for 1,600 yards?
I don't think that's the plan.
All right, how about yards from scrimmage? How about Ezekiel Elliott having a MVP caliber effort in terms of yards?
My show will tell you if he has more than 1,600 yards, they made a mistake. They should have thrown the ball more.
Yeah, which I don't know that I agree with that, but I do just think the award has become such a quarterback-driven award to where I don't know anymore that Zeke's going to be pulling away votes from Dak.
No.
Okay, put me down to disagree with that, but Brian, I understand what you're saying about the rushing yards, so let's change that a little bit. How about Ezekiel Elliott's total yards? You don't have a problem with Zeke catching, being like Emmitt Smith and catching 60 balls, do you?
The problem, Michael, is they haven't done that. They haven't shown me that. You know, we could talk about those types of things, throwing him the football, putting it at him out there and stuff like that, but he hasn't proven that he could be like Le'Veon Bell or any of those running backs to catch the ball like that.
I think he can do that.
Oh, Mike, I don't disagree with you, but again, the old regime, and maybe this one will be different, but there's nothing that showed us that they're committed to doing that. They've got, you know, you look at the wide receivers, the tight end. I mean, they've got other weapons to throw the ball to.
And, of course, when we look at McCarthy and Green Bay, they were never running back reliant, certainly not a single running back. I think, though, if we flash back before that, wasn't Mike McCarthy the offensive coordinator for Ricky Williams in New Orleans?
Deuce McAllister, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was a team that got the ball. Again, though, maybe that was a different era. Bottom line, though, I think Cam Newton ends up being – just the right guy in just the right place. And guys, I hear you on Buffalo, and I believe it, but I'm not going to bet against Bill Belichick. I'm just not.
You shouldn't.
It seems like the safest available bet is just to figure out, okay, now it comes down to week 17, and I don't know who plays in week 17, but it comes down to for the division title, Buffalo versus New England. I'm taking Bill Belichick.
Same here. You know who I'm not taking? Is Josh Allen. That's who I'm not taking. All right, Fish. Hey, we appreciate it, man. At Fish Sports on Twitter. We love you, and we'll catch up with – well, I guess you're going to be on the morning show tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, Will Chambers and myself will host the morning show tomorrow in for Sean and RJ. Big shoes to fill. Don Vannata, maybe the best sports writer in America, will join us. And God Sham God, street legend and Mavericks assistant coach, will join us as well. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that'll be fun tomorrow morning.
All right, you're a beast. We love you. We will catch up with you later. There he goes, at Fish Sports on Twitter. And
I think Broadus wants to just wring your neck for that Josh Allen tag. Oh, so disrespectful.
No, it's, you know, I mean, no, there's a lot of people that don't like Josh Allen.
I respect the Allen family.
Buffalo's got the best roster, though. There's no doubt about that.
You know what? I have a feeling this is going to be a breakout year for Josh Allen. I really do.
All right. I like it. Bold predictions from Brian Broaddus. 877-881-1053. Join the conversation. All eyes on 1053thefan.com/fancam as we go shirtless. A little baseball stuff. Just banging with our Rangers insider, Jared Sandler, next right here on The Fan.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Coming up on the other side, we will have basically the worst of the worst. Which sports franchise have the worst odds at ever winning a championship?
Browns.
We will go through the cellar dwellers of the sports world. But right
Sacramento Kings.
We bring over a nosebleed seat staple here to the Nosebleed Nation as it's 3:40-ish. Shirts are off, and it's time for this. 1053thefan.com/fancam. Everybody shirtless, baby. It's a Rangers party here on your home of the Rangers. 1053 The Fan, and we welcome in the pre and post show host and our Rangers insider, the one and only Jared Sandler. Jared, what's going on, my friend?
Fellas, I guess this is kind of like happy Friday in a sense with the 4th of July weekend for a lot of people starting tomorrow. So for those Tolos who are getting ready to start the weekend, let's party. I mean, that's why the shirts are off. I think you can always justify when you've got a communal shirt off conversation, and the 4th of July weekend is maybe right at the top of those situations.
Broaddus actually brought us prepared today, and I think he actually got a little chest wax last night, so he's nice and smooth.
Yeah, I missed out on the tan. I didn't get in time to get the spray.
I offered you, yeah, I'll spray it for you.
I was going to go to the Sherwin Williams and get me some orange paint.
Yeah. He didn't want to do it with Walchuk because Walchuk was going to make him go full nude. He was like, can I at least keep my boxers on? Walchuk's like, nope. Rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
Jared, we did have Chris Woodward. We played the cut of him earlier talking about kind of how he opened up conversations with the team, but Woody doing a little Zoom, which I guess is how we should get used to these interviews being done from now on for the foreseeable future. What were some of your takeaways on this press conference today with the skipper?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, a few things were addressed that I don't know that we'll get like a tangible value to it, but are certainly going to be questions that managers and front offices and coaching staffs will grapple with. The lack of Cactus League or Grapefruit League competition to gear up. Obviously, those games mean nothing, but there is a difference, and Broaddus certainly can speak to this on the football side. There's a difference when you're facing a different uniform and a different team versus, you know, your ones versus their twos or your ones versus your ones on, you know, O and D or whatever. And I think there's a chance that they have a couple of scrimmages or spring training or summer camp games at the end. But, you know, he's talked about creating a competition and maybe having some of the quote unquote captains draft teams and just putting something at stake to do whatever they can to, when they get into these intra-squad games, put something on the line so that there's something at stake. And again, I don't know that at the end of camp we'll be able to measure quantitatively like they accomplished X, and because of the competition that's going to get them two extra wins. But, you know, as you think of ways to ramp up, because it's a 60 game season, you want to do everything you can to hit the ground running. And I just think that's an interesting dynamic. And again, there's no playbook for this. It's not like you can, you know, execute the copycat league fundamentals here because they're all kind of going through this for the first time.
Jared, do you feel like, though, the fact that we did have some spring training, that they have an understanding of their team, or is it kind of like we're now in a clean slate bit, or we're going to start over here, or do you still feel that they have the carryover from what we saw in Arizona will be what we start to see here as we get started again?
You know, that's a great question. I always hear that it for most NFL training camps, you more or less know a lot of the, you know, your roster. Maybe there are a couple spots, right? Like we sit here and we debate, hey, who's going to be, will they carry an extra receiver or this or that? But they kind of know. And I think with baseball, there probably is a lot more that is not decided when when spring training starts. Now, that doesn't mean 7 to 8 roster spots, but maybe 3 to 4, which on a 26-man roster now, that's a higher percentage than in football. I do wonder, though, how much they might factor in guys who they believe are candidates to not get off to a slow start. I know it's like a weird thing to ask and predict, but like, I mean, these games, like game one is important. And you know, I get made fun of a lot, and rightfully so, because I'll get fired up when I talk with callers who want to like fire everyone on the coaching staff and trade everyone on April 17th because, you know, things aren't going well. But this year on August 17th, like, you're in go time from you know, the first game of the season. So I wonder how they approach that and if they're going to look for different things, I guess, is the best way I can kind of respond to your question with a question of my own as to how they might approach the roster building breaking camp.
Jared, was there a little coaching staff shakeup today?
Yeah, a little bit. So Hector Ortiz, who's been with the organization for a long time, he's been a first base coach and then was the bullpen coach and then was last year once again the first base coach. They're actually moving him off of that position and into the dugout because Hector Ortiz is the catching coordinator, if you will. And they basically determined that it doesn't make a lot of sense for the guy who should be working with the catchers to be stuck in the first base coach's box in between the pitching innings, the defensive innings where he could be working with the catcher and, you know, shoring up game plan stuff or whatever. So they're going to have him in the dugout instead of first base coach. Corey Ragsdale, who kind of takes on the field coordinator role and will have a big role in the base running, will be the first base coach with Tony Beasley remaining across the diamond of the third base coach's box.
Jared, I mean, first base in general is still up in the air a little bit. You know, you're going to go with Guzzi, clearly a better defensive option. Is it Bird because he can maybe provide more when it comes to the bat? I mean, all of this with the short season, how much of a shorter leash do you think players are going to be on? And I think the first player that comes to mind on a lot of for a lot of fans would be Rugi, right? But I think the Rangers, the question mark with this entire lineup is the fact that a lot of them are pretty streaky at times.
Yeah, the leash question was one that was asked today, and you know, there's no. First of all, it's all case by case, right? Like Joey Gallo's gonna have a longer leash than Danny Santana, and heck, even maybe Rugi with Rugi's you know, slow starts at times. They talk so much about, not to get all Jason Garrett here, but the process. You know, you can be, the reality is you can be 0-for-8. And I can be 4-for-8, but you're putting together way better at bats because I've had 2 dribblers, a chopper in the infield, and 1 quality hit. And you can be, you know, screaming the ball all over the place, but in that small of a sample size, just get unlucky. And they're going to take that stuff into consideration. But, you know, at some point, as much as you want to consider the process, you do need to take note of the end result. And, you know, I asked Woody about this last year, and he said, you know, one thing that is a concern when the guys aren't getting the results, they start to question their process, even though they shouldn't, and because maybe they're doing all the things right. But naturally, if you look up and you see, oh, I'm hitting 212, your instinct is to change things. And so at some point, the lack of results will maybe lead to them straying from the fundamentals that are putting them in the best spot. And so it's going to be a balance. Obviously, different guys will get different runways. But that is, guys, you know, the playoff spots are going to be based on a game, maybe tiebreakers. And the coach who plays, the manager who plays those chess pieces right, might be the guy who makes the difference between playoffs or not. Over 162 games, I'd say maybe that's not as much the case. But 60 games, the decision to stick with, say, Rugi before he gets super hot, or sit Rugi because you know he's not coming out of it. I mean, those are going to be critical decisions that can amount to, you know, a win, 2 wins. Heck, you know, if you look at the collective decisions, 3 to 4 wins even.
Jared, go ahead, Broadus. Go ahead, Broadus.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Shut up, Eric.
Yeah.
I don't get to do this too often. I don't get to do this too often, so I didn't jump in there.
Question.
Jared, you know, as you talk to people in the front office and players and stuff, and what's the craziest thought that somebody has given you about what they're about to embark? What's the one thing? Is there something that somebody said, you know what, I know there's a lot of unknowns, but by God, this is, you know, and then all of a sudden they just light into something that you're like, going, man, I haven't given that any thought at all. Is there something
like
that,
a strategy fit? Like not
a strategy, just like, you know, man, we don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, I can't believe that we're doing this or that, or, I mean, is there something that somebody's going to have an idea that, it sounds just like completely crazy, that the biggest unknown maybe is what I'm trying to get from you there. That somebody's reached out and said, you know, hey man, this is nuts. This is, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have had players tell me that they are very skeptical as to whether or not this season gets completed. Now, I haven't had anyone go so far as to tell me, I hate that we're doing this. I'm not comfortable at all doing this. And I think that if the player reached that point, then he would, you know, he would opt out.
He would opt out, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't gotten that. I think they're varying degrees of skepticism. And then I think you got the young guys who are single and they're like, whatever. I mean, I'm single. I don't have to worry about a wife and kids. And I don't mean that like carelessly, but I do think that, you know, Shin-Soo Choo's thought process on this season is probably going to be a lot different than, say, Joey Gallo's thought process. You know, just for natural reasons. I mean, I certainly am approaching this a lot differently with a wife who's got underlying medical conditions versus if I was single and striking out of the bars on a nightly basis like I did for 4 years of my life. So,
I think it was eight.
You know, I think that the dispositions are very much based on kind of that home situation. I don't know if I answered your question at all.
No, it was probably a poor way to ask it, but I just wondered if there was some any crazy idea that people are coming or some crazy thoughts like, you know, I mean, I would think that somebody would probably come out and just kind of say, man, can you believe we're doing this? Can you believe with what's going on in the world, we're going to try and play sports? Can you, you know, and that's kind of where I was going with that, that maybe that there are people out there, and you're right, they would probably, you know, if they had those kind of thoughts, they'd bag out. But there might be some guys that like saying, yeah, we're going to do this, but man, it is one of the worst ideas that we can have.
I think if you took an anonymous poll of players, I think you would get a large percentage of votes or people saying something similar to that, like, is this going to actually
work? This is shocking.
Work?
Yeah. Is this going to actually work? Yeah.
Yes. And I think that, I think the older the player is, the more likely they are to have that sentiment. Now, that's not to say that they think Major League Baseball is doing the dumbest thing ever by any means, but I think that they have, gosh, I hate to say 1 foot out the door, but there are varying degrees of skepticism for sure.
Jared, no explanation, no context needed. Just the most famous person you've ever peed next to, please.
Just a name.
Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I was sandwiched. It was awesome. Greatest 26 seconds of my life. I'm so glad I drank a lot of water that day because I got that unique experience.
Really horrible answer. Jared, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, brother.
Love you guys.
And maybe even later. All right, love you more. There he goes, Jared Sandler, our Rangers insider, just banging every night at 8:40 on the nosebleed seats. And at 3:40, when we come into the main stage here with the G-Bag Nation. Up next, the sports franchise with the worst odds to win a championship. 877-881-1053. Who do you think the three are? And we break down the bottom of the barrel in sports next on The Fan.